Hello, this is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. Well, we're carrying on with our triple themes, we might call it, love, compassion, gratitude. And for those of you who are listening, of course, you will know that we may start out with one of these qualities and end up talking about all three because they are obviously connected. Today, I have with me Gail Olson from Chaparral, Texas.
New Mexico.
New Mexico?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Well, it's actually outside of El Paso, and I'm confused because the border between New Mexico and Texas is very wiggly.
Yes, it is.
So, in one moment, you can be in Texas, and one moment, you can be in New Mexico, which is a very interesting quality. Anyway, we're here with Gail, and I asked her which one she would like to focus on, and she said, love. And so this is a love hour. And Gail, I'd really like to welcome you to the show.
Thank you.
Yeah. And I've known Gail for several years. We've had a very interesting relationship. And I'd like to just ask you, Gail, if you'll start out by talking about how you really first met Reiki. Like, what were the events that led up to Reiki in your life?
Actually, I had a very good friend who, we always went to Kermazar in El Paso, Texas together, and her husband was ill and she couldn't go. And she asked me if I would pick up a crystal for her at the Kermazar fair.
And excuse me, I just have to check out. What are you saying? Kermazar?
Kermazar.
Kermazar. Yes. What's that?
In El Paso, the Junior League put it on. And it is a fair, vendors and people who make things come just around October. And they have little booths, and you go to all of these different booths, and you can buy all kinds of things from Christmas things to jewelry to things from Russia, just all kinds of little vendors.
Oh, wow, that sounds neat. I may have to come and shop.
It is. It's great. And it's just before the Christmas fair in El Paso.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And so she asked me, we have, for 30 years, we've gone to this together.
Uh-huh.
And she asked me that year that she couldn't go because her husband was so ill, and could I pick her up a crystal? And I went to a vendor, and I said that was a beautiful crystal, and she said, oh, you know, I infuse all my crystals with Reiki. And I said, really? And she said, yes. And she said, do you know what Reiki is? And I said, no, but the word just strikes my heart. And she said, it's healing energy. So I bought my friend a crystal and went home and began my search on the internet.
Wow. So when was that?
That was in 1999.
Yes. Oh, wow.
1999. And it took me years to search and find, and you just find little snippets of stuff.
Right.
Of course, the internet was just getting off the ground, too.
Right, so, exactly.
Then I found, and then going to the library and looking it up in the library. And the first book I ever found on Reiki was by Helen Haverly, which was
wow.
One of Mrs. Takata's students.
Yeah, wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, that's a good book.
It is a good book.
Yeah, great.
I think it really tells the essence of what Reiki is and the way Reiki is presented and taught.
Uh-huh, uh-huh, yeah. Beautiful. So one of Helen's students actually lives here in El Paso, Jean Ferris. So maybe she was instrumental in getting the book in the library.
Possibly. However, I met Jean Ferris probably 4 years later.
Really?
Yes. I went to her for Reiki, for a Reiki treatment. I found out that there was a Reiki practitioner here, and I went to her for that.
Wow,
and
great.
So and then I asked her a lot of questions.
Yeah, I can imagine.
And she told me about you.
Uh-huh. So. Right. So from 1999, when was it that you first started practicing Reiki?
I found, before I found Jean Ferris, I found a lady that was a German lady. Uh-huh. And I took Reiki classes from her.
Uh-huh.
And then I just began practicing. And then I found, and I did that in 2002 and 2003.
Uh-huh. Great. So, now that you've selected love as your focus for this conversation, when did love and Reiki connect?
I would have to say that it started with my mother when she became ill. And uh-huh. I had to leave my business and go and take care of her. She refused to come here.
Uh-huh. So obviously she doesn't live in El Paso.
No, she lived in Missouri.
Missouri, oh wow.
And she lived in the Ozarks of Missouri.
Wow, and beautiful so place.
It is beautiful, and she didn't want to leave the farm that I had grown up on. And so that farm is 6 miles off the highway, and the closest town is 29 miles.
Oh my gosh.
So she just, you know, she's a farmer.
Right.
And you had to love her, because sometimes I would be so frustrated because she was very, very ill. And we were very far back in the sticks.
Uh-huh. So you quit your job, you just left your job.
Well, I had a really good secretary, uh-huh. and she just kind of kept it all together for me.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And I would drive and stay 2 weeks with my mother, and then drive back to my business and spend a week doing everything that needed to be done, going over everything that had been done, and paying everything forward that needed to be done. And then I would drive the 1,000-mile trip back there to be with my mother and to take care of her.
Wow.
And I did that for a year.
Wow. Amazing.
It was.
And you had Reiki then?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
And how did this come together then? Were you giving her Reiki?
I practiced on my mother, giving her Reiki, and I was still in that part where you give Reiki to yourself. Uh-huh. And that's when I began to notice that my heart began to heal. So many things that you hold inside, you don't let go. Things that happen so far back you can't even remember, but you've just never been healed by those.
Uh-huh.
And that's when I began to realize that Reiki healed those.
Uh-huh. Wow. So what does it mean to you when you say that Reiki healed them for you? Does it mean that you forget them, or that you don't have any more pain, or
it means for me?
Yeah,
for me it means that I was able to let those injustices, the hurt, the anger, the bitterness and resentment. I was able to let those things go and no longer hold on to them.
Uh-huh.
And when you let that kind of stuff go,
uh-huh,
you have empty space.
Mm-hmm, that's true.
And love fills it. And then when you feel that love that's filled it, then you get gratitude.
Uh-huh. And what's the gratitude for?
Just you're so grateful that Reiki, that your own practice on yourself enables you. And I was very isolated right after I received Reiki. So Reiki is what really led me and taught me.
Uh-huh. Great.
And so I got I think it's a really bond with it. That uh-huh. on all levels, the spiritual, you know, the heart, the mental, the physical, there was just a bond that I just knew Reiki's. If there was more Reiki in the world, there would be peace too.
Well, I think there's lots of Reiki. It's just that we aren't quite there yet for everybody to
possibly
have it. Yeah. So, then, so as you were treating your mother with Reiki, you were healing some of the situations between the two of you?
Oh, yes.
Would that be accurate to say?
That would be very accurate.
Uh-huh.
You know, gosh.
I mean, it's kind of a archetypical relationship, mothers and daughters.
It is.
Yeah. So you were going to say?
It is amazing the things that your mother tells you as you're growing up, and a little girl that that you try to prove them wrong.
Right.
Or you think, or you just feel like it's they really didn't understand you, that they didn't know what life was really like. You just don't even, because with our mothers, I don't think we ever think our mothers were young and finding their way in the world as well.
Right, definitely, and I would say that's true. I'm not sure I can relate to my mother as being younger than she always has been.
that it's hard to relate to your mother. Yeah. I mean, they're just your mother.
Right.
And it's hard to have an adult relationship with your mother.
Uh-huh.
Because
very.
they think of you as their child, and you still think of them as the person that's bossing you around.
So when you went back and forth to visit your mom and care for her, that was a time when a lot of these processes could happen. Did you feel like you ended up with an adult kind of relationship with her?
I did, and I used to express some of the things that I felt with my mother, and my mother would just look at me and tell me, I don't know where you get some of these things. I just can't imagine. Sometimes I think that you can't possibly be my daughter and have these things, these thoughts and these opinions. But through it all, I was able to let it go, let the anger go. And she would even tell the nurses when the hospice would come in that she didn't like me touching her because I hurt her. And the nurses, the nurses would ask her, well, am I hurting you? And she'd say, oh yes, but it's okay. You're not my daughter.
So I guess there was an assumption there that if you were a daughter, you wouldn't hurt her.
I assume so. It was such an odd thing.
Uh-huh.
She was very opinionated about things.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And the way things had to be.
Yeah.
I never scrubbed a pot clean enough. I didn't tuck the sheets at the foot of the bed in good enough.
Uh-huh.
And that's so, and I remember that as a little girl.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And it was still that way.
Uh-huh.
Oh, when she became sick.
Uh-huh. So, did you feel that you? So, what was the process for you about finding love in these situations?
I learned not to take it personally.
Oh, how did you do that?
I don't even know. It must be love. I just learned that she wasn't lashing out at me as much as at the circumstances that she was in.
Uh-huh.
She didn't want to be sick.
Right.
She didn't understand being sick. And she would tell me, when I would tell her, just let go and let yourself heal. And she said she wasn't good enough to be healed.
Mm-hmm.
So I always felt like there was confusion in her heart.
Uh-huh.
And that she was just, like so many of us, you go through the world blind.
Uh-huh.
and lost.
Uh-huh.
And sometimes you never find your way.
Uh-huh.
And I was grateful because I really think through Reiki, through the constant giving my mother Reiki, and then when she would sleep, I would give myself Reiki because I was so tired all the time.
Right.
I really think that just opened me to healing and to an understanding, a depth of understanding of pain and illness and mm-hmm. what it does to you. Therefore, we now talk of compassion.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all tied together.
Uh-huh. 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 And what's compassion for you?
Compassion is when you can take yourself out of yourself and understand and not not pass a judgment on what someone else is doing.
Uh-huh.
And you can be truly compassionate and understanding and love them anyway.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's almost like non-judgment.
Uh-huh. Interesting. Well, it would be really wonderful if we could all get to that state.
I don't say I live in that state.
Okay, that's clear.
I just have arrived and visited once in a while.
Okay. Well, I think that one of the things I've learned in my Reiki practice is that I start having these little vignettes, these little moments of a certain kind of quality, like compassion or a kind of love that feels genuine and somehow without attachment. And these little moments come as moments, and then they kind of stretch out to minutes, and then they stretch out to 5 minutes, 10 minutes, and then maybe a half an hour. And that's a big achievement, I think.
I agree. I think it is a big. Yeah. There's an old saying that we are our brother's keeper.
Oh yes. Uh-huh.
And that has new meaning for me.
Uh-huh.
It really does, and I think for me, it's your little vignettes that you're explaining, that we really are, all of us, connected to everything.
Uh-huh.
And it's through that energy, whatever that energy is, we call it Reiki.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people talk about Reiki as unconditional love, do you?
Well, I could see it being that. It is unconditional. It's there. We just reach our hands out, and it's right there. I think love comes from your own soul, your own spirit, and your connection with that universal life force energy.
Mm-hmm.
Whether that would be unconditional love. Some people may call that God. I don't know. But I do think there's no judgment there. I think it's all love. And
mm-hmm.
And I am my brother's keeper.
Mm-hmm. So does love always look nice?
No. Sometimes love looks very black.
What do you mean by that?
Well, you know, sometimes you just look at yourself in the mirror and you think, oh, I'm just such a horrible human being, or I'm just, look what I did. I had an opportunity to be kind and generous.
Uh-huh.
And I was hateful and snotty. Yeah, I'm really practicing that love thing there. And I think the hardest person to love is ourselves.
Uh-huh.
But I think that's the place that it begins. And then it just reaches out, strings, to every living thing on the face of the planet or in the universe. I just think it's never ending.
Uh-huh.
But it begins with us loving ourselves.
Uh-huh.
And once you love yourself, it's easier. Well, it's actually easier to love others because you don't have a tendency to judge others as harshly as you judge yourself.
That's true.
So I think that it really does begin. Unconditional love really begins with ourselves.
Mm-hmm. So how do you do that? How do you learn how to love yourself? Tell me.
I tell myself that every day. just remember, Gail, today you love yourself.
Uh huh.
And I really do try to be kind. I'm not always successful, but I try to be kind, and I try to place myself. Like I'm someone else, the mm-hmm. person that I'm dealing with. If I was that person, how would I want to be treated?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I don't always succeed.
Mm-hmm. Do you have a story or something that pops to your mind about this? I guess they call it antidote. I always want to say antidote, but that's not the right word.
An example.
An example. example. Mm-hmm. We like stories.
You like stories?
Yeah.
Well, once upon a time.
Like, do you feel like there's a difference between you before Reiki and you after Reiki now?
Yes. I believe that I'm a much better person than I was before. And I wish my husband was here and he could tell you. but he probably wouldn't say anything nice. He tells me that I am different since I've started practicing Reiki. Uh-huh. And I give him Reiki. Uh-huh. And he says that I'm less impatient. Mm-hmm. That I drive slower. I'm not in such a hurry. I know that I have used Reiki to with people, just the practice of Reiki, and I know that they say that it they feel different. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. When they receive Reiki treatments, that they feel calmer, and they feel some of the fear leaves. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then I have this Reiki practice concerning animals now. Mm. So I have animals that love Reiki, and I use Reiki on my animals and other people's animals. They'll bring them to me and ask me if they've got a sick dog or cat.
Uh-huh. Well, that's an interesting piece because, you know, oftentimes people talk about their animals and their pets, saying that, let's see, something like, well, they always love me no matter what I do.
Unconditional love. And it is true. I think animals do. When I was a little girl, and I remember kicking a dog, and his name was Duke. I remember kicking him because he wouldn't get out of the way. And my father said to me, that dog loves you. And you can kick that dog and he'll still come to you and lick your face and he'll still keep you warm at night and he'll still feel sorry for you when you fall down and scratch your knee. And there you were, just kicking that dog. And I was probably 5 years old when my father said that.
Wow.
And I've never forgotten that. And it is true. And now I try to remember, I need to be more like the dog.
All right. Do you think you've succeeded in part of that?
A little bit. I no longer kick dogs.
Okay, that's good. That's a good first step.
But I do think that I really do try to look at people through the eyes of love. Uh-huh. And I really try to look at myself. Because I had days where, you know, I'm just really stressed from work. And you get kind of an angry, you're rushing around and you're impatient with yourself. And then for me now that I'm older, I drop things and I pick them back up and then they just fly right out of my hand. And I swear, I might do that 2 or 3 times and then I will say, this is the last time I'm picking this paper up off the floor. And then I stop and think, okay, let's rethink this. Let's take a 5-minute Reiki break.
Good idea.
And
does it work?
Yes, it actually does. I think it's a real stress buster. Uh-huh. For me.
For you, yeah. And it also brings you love.
Yes.
Yes.
It does.
So what's the reward for love?
Reward for love?
You know, like loving yourself. What are the benefits of that?
I think, well, I know that, and it's really funny.
Yes.
I take my blood pressure because my husband takes his blood pressure. And then he tells me, you should take yours. Uh-huh. And I will take my blood pressure, and then I will, just the regular way, and then I will think of Reiki. And do some breathing exercises and take it again, and it's usually 15 points lower.
Really?
Yes, it really is.
Huh.
So that's my benefit. I really know it lowers my blood pressure.
Hmm.
Should we do a disclaimer now?
No, absolutely not. It's your experience. You can say whatever you'd like. What other things have you noticed?
I notice that there's more peace in my house.
Hmm.
There seems to be an aura of peace mm-hmm. in my house. And it actually, when I crossed the gate into my yard, there's a change. The energy just feels different.
Mm-hmm.
And I also noticed that where you go where Reiki's practiced, oftentimes there's a calming, loving, kind energy that you will feel.
Mm-hmm.
And it isn't just me. I think I have a lot of friends that are not Reiki. And they'll say, it's so peaceful here. And it's the same traffic going by my house that goes by theirs. So it has to be just that love,
uh-huh.
that loving spirit that's there, present in what you bring into your environment.
Mm-hmm. 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 Mm. Do you think that there are different kinds of love?
Yes.
Yes?
Sure. Uh-huh. The love between a man and a woman, or a love between, parents and children, people and animals. I think it's a different love, but I still think it comes from the same place.
Uh-huh. So do you see them then as kind of... there's, if we could imagine love as a pie, okay, I'm really into food, right? I've been called a professional foodie in my time. So if there's a pie, and, you know, there's one part of our love we learn from our parents, and one part of our love we learn from, I just use me as an example, I learned from television, from watching Father Knows Best and... those kind of shows about how...
Leave it to Beaver.
How, brothers and sisters should be together, and how parents and children should be together, and how mothers and fathers should be together. But I never quite got this when I was a child. But I never also realized that kind of imagery was inside of me until I got married. And then... my husband and I, my new husband and I, were sitting down one day, and he said, you know, you have the most odd idea of what marriage is and what a relationship is. And I said, really? And he said, yeah. And he said, where did you get your ideas? And I said, well, I guess from my parents, who were very peaceful. Like, we never saw them fighting. And I'm sure they had disagreements, but it was never in front of us kids. Or I didn't remember it being in front of us. Mm-hmm. And so it was kind of a Leave It to Beaver kind of marriage, where it was all it wasn't that we were always happy or they were always happy. It was just that there wasn't any fighting or any kind of, disharmony kind of energy. And he said, people in relationships fight. And he said, sometimes that's just how it is. And it's not bad. It's not that you're being a bad person. It's just that you have differences of opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And it took me about 10 years to figure out that my role models were, Leave It to Beaver. What were their names? The parents?
Ward. June Cleaver.
June Cleaver and something.
Ward. Cleaver, yes. And so I must be on that same TV channel as you.
I mean, it was really shocking to imagine that I had somehow assimilated this feeling of what relationships are supposed to be like between a man and a woman by watching television and my own parents. And then that was it. That was, because in even my friends of my parents, the couples that I knew who were my parents' age, I never saw them fight because I wasn't around them very much, just when they were probably on their best behavior. So That was very shocking to me.
Mm-hmm. I agree. That's our age era in there. And I think that the expectation was that women were servants to their families. And they just, well, that was their job.
Yes.
And I remember thinking growing up, I don't want to do this. I don't want to be like my mother. And so that was one of those things that I just tried everything not to be like my mother. My mother brought my father his food. She brought the newspaper. She brought him his coffee. If he was sitting watching TV and he wanted a drink, he'd turn to her and tell her, I need a drink. And she would get up and go get him a drink. And I never wanted to be that kind of a wife.
Uh-huh. Did you succeed?
I probably went way over the other end in the beginning that I am not going to do this for you. And if you want a drink, go get it yourself.
Uh-huh.
So, and I'm sure that I went way over the other end.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
When I went to meet my husband's parents for the first time, they were in Minnesota and we were here in El Paso, Texas. And I was supposed to be on my good behavior, and I really thought I was, when my mother-in-law said, why don't you get up and get Larry a cup of coffee? That's my husband. And I said to her, if he wants coffee, he can get it himself. So I, needless to say, didn't put a real good light on myself with my mother-in-law for a number of years.
Right.
But she survived that.
Yeah.
My husband has survived that.
Yeah.
And now if he asked me to get him coffee, I would gladly get him coffee.
Right.
Because I have this tremendous love and respect for him now.
Uh-huh.
And I think we just are oftentimes confused in our as we're growing up. We're just confused. And for me, Reiki has helped me understand that. And it's just changed my whole attitude about how I am with every single person.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's from just the healing of myself.
And isn't it amazing? I mean, I always think this to be true, but it's kind of difficult to imagine that, okay, you've had Reiki for 10 years now, maybe?
Yeah, wow.
Yeah, 10
years. It doesn't seem that long.
Right. And yet it probably seems like a lifetime.
Yes, yeah. I can't imagine life without it.
Yeah, exactly. So imagine from where you've come from before you had Reiki to now, and then imagine another 10 years that you could look back in 10 years and say, wow, I was like that, and now I'm, you know, isn't that interesting?
Yes, it is.
It's really amazing because it's really a process. And, you know, my students just hate this word because whenever they ask me for a definitive anything, I always say, well, you know, it's a process. You just have, or in Canada, process. Yeah. And you have to just see where Reiki takes you and put your, you know, take each step and it'll lead you somewhere.
It will.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah.
I'm thrilled to kind of follow.
Uh-huh.
I know that I'm a willing participant in this, but it's still it is a process, and we grow with this.
Uh-huh.
And it amazes me how much we grow. And mm-hmm. I hope I'm around 10 years to look back and think, oh, what was I thinking?
I really thought I knew love then,
yes.
But now.
Now I really understand.
Yeah.
And then just think in another 10 years.
Yeah, exactly.
I can't go that far. 10 years, that'll make me 80-something.
No.
Well, in another, I mean, if we got 20 years, and 10 years from now, and then go another 10,
oh, okay.
That makes me 80. It's like, oh my gosh.
Yeah. Well, how old was your mother when she passed?
My mother was 72.
Uh-huh. So you could outlive your mother.
I could. I could very well. My father was 72 as well.
He died. Oh, interesting.
He died the year before my mother.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I think that's very interesting. I noticed that when my mom past her 80th birthday. It was a very significant year, and I always thought in my heart of hearts, I have no idea if this is accurate, that it was something about passing her mother.
Really?
Yeah, like that she had lived longer than her mother had, and that was some kind of passage
right
into her own, claiming more of her own self somehow. I always thought that, and I'm wondering, you know, when you reach 72 and then go on to 73, if that will be your experience. We'll have to see.
We'll have to see. We'll get together then.
All right.
I know we'll still know each other.
That's great.
But it's possible. I hadn't really ever thought of that.
Interesting.
It is. It is very interesting.
Yeah, I had a friend of mine whose father died from a massive heart attack at the age of 54. And he was always freaked out about this particular birthday for himself because he felt like that would happen. And he actually did die of a massive heart attack, but a few years past his father. So during that year, he was laying low, so to speak. And I think he died when he was 58. And that was amazing. Just gone.
Was he Reiki?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. So it's amazing.
It is amazing. Reiki is. Who knows where it's going to lead us, but I know that if you're willing to follow it and be a participant in the process, that you're going to discover things about yourself and the world and other people that are amazing.
Well, I'm just wondering, getting back to our little topic of love, do you find that you love more different kinds of people?
Yes, I do.
Yeah?
Yes, I do.
Okay, tell me.
I don't even know. I grew up very poor. And so one of the things that I struggled with when I got out of high school was I wanted to be well off, and I didn't want to be poor like that, and I just kind of tried to forget that part of my life, and I chased the tail of the dragon to become successful.
Right.
Reiki has brought me success in such a in such a different way. But in my business, I am caring, and I sell insurance. and you know, insurance is one of those necessary evils.
Right.
And but I try to do it extremely ethically.
What does that mean?
I will not sell people what I know they can't afford. You know, we can tell you, yes, you need life insurance, and you've got 6 children. If something happened to you next year, you need at least $1 million to carry your children through. But if you can't pay the premium, then why are you even going there in the first place? And so you have to give people something that they can afford, that they can then feel that they've done the best that they can do for themselves and their family, and be honest with them, so that they don't come back later and feel like, well, you made me do too much, or you didn't make me do enough. And that's just a really fine line to walk, and I try to do it ethically, and it's easier now. It just flows. And I seem to be able to connect with each group of people I'm with, no matter the salary that they're making and bringing home. And I just think my business has grown. I'm doing something right by being caring and compassionate and loving, that it's word of mouth. I don't advertise any longer. I stopped advertising in the phone book.
Really?
Yes, in the Yellow Pages. It was extremely expensive, and I thought, you know, word of mouth has to be something. And so I just started going with word of mouth.
Wow.
And if I treat people the way I want to be treated, then it's going to work. And it has. It has worked for me.
Good for you.
Thanks. I'm grateful to the universe for this.
Uh-huh. And you feel like that's come because Reiki has given you a possibility to really care about people.
Yes.
No matter where they come from.
Yes. No matter what their ethnic background is, no matter what their financial background is, I can just relate to them because you have a loving heart. I have a loving heart toward them, and I'm thrilled to see them when they walk in.
Mm-hmm.
Every single time, I'm thrilled to see them. And I try to remember everyone's name, and it's hard sometimes. As you get older, I know their face, and I can remember it in my office, and then I'll see them in the grocery store. And I'm out of that element,
right?
And then I'm struggling for that. But one of the things that I have the ability to do now that I didn't was reach up and maybe extend my hand and then hold their hand for a moment, or you know, put my arm around them and say, "Oh gosh, I'm so glad to see you. How is it going?" And sincerely mean it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think that's an awareness that I've received through Reiki.
Mm-hmm.
A loving kindness there that goes with what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Well, there's this bumper sticker that says something like random acts of kindness, perform random acts of kindness or something like that.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
Yes, I've seen that. What does it say? I can't remember what it says exactly, but I really believe that now.
Yeah,
and if we could just get everybody to do a random act of kindness every day, it would be great.
Uh-huh. So, are random acts of kindness like giving money to the guy sitting at the freeway who has no money?
Every day, and it's funny that you mention that because...
Well, I've been passing them a lot here in El Paso.
Yes. I set aside... $5 $1 bills whenever I'm going to come into town. Because I live in Chaparral, it's kind of outside El Paso proper by about 20 miles, and you have to come into town to do your banking and to do your grocery shopping.
Uh-huh.
And I put the $5 $1 bills up in my visor, and as I come to the stop sign, I just give out a dollar. And when I'm out of dollars, I'm done with my, for the day. And some days, it's hard for me to give out those dollars. I don't run across people.
Uh-huh.
And other days, I run across people right away.
Mm-hmm.
And they're always so, the first thing they say is, "Oh, bless you." And how can you not give a dollar, you know, to someone that blesses you? How great that blessing is. And I'm just grateful for that blessing.
Right, and probably grateful that you have the dollars.
Oh yeah, I'm grateful I have the dollars. Because, you know, all of us could, I have customers that the amount of money they live on in their Social Security, and then I'm trying to insure their house, that, you know, they're just, it'd be so easy for them to be under the bridge. And then I think about myself, well, I could be under that bridge too.
Uh-huh.
You know, there but the grace of God go I. So I think that random acts of kindness are a good thing. Especially in America, we have so much. Well, we got deviated, I'm sorry.
That's not a deviation for me. That's So I think we've gone from a very personal kind of love between a mother and a daughter and family members and so on, to a universal kind of love. Like, you know, does universal brotherhood really include the beggars on the street? And does it include not the beggars on the street, but the people who just, out of circumstances, don't have a home anymore? And of course, in the United States, that's becoming more and more possible.
It is.
That's amazing.
It is. I never thought, you know, it would be this way. But so much has happened in the last 3 years.
Yeah.
In our country.
Yeah. I mean, there are people who actually have jobs who are living on the street because
yes.
they had such a bad financial advice that they were loaned money that they couldn't pay back, mm-hmm. and when they couldn't pay back, then they didn't have a house.
Right. I agreed. I think that I remember, I mean, speaking to that, I do remember we make choices in our life. And I was an executive for a very large insurance financial mm-hmm. company. And I stepped back and looked at my life
mm-hmm.
and thought, this isn't the life that I want.
Uh-huh.
And I bought a little insurance agency in a little town, and that's where I'm at. And I don't make a lot of money, but I'm affected by a lot of people in my community, and I feel a part of that community. I feel I am my brother's keeper, and I've been happier.
Mm-hmm.
Of all the things that I wish I could do, is I wish I could go back in time and not buy that first thing that I then felt responsible for.
What was that?
Well, the first thing I ever bought was I bought a living room set to put into the house. And when I was buying that living room set, something was telling me, don't buy furniture, it's going to make you stay. It's going to take away a piece of your freedom. You won't be able to just pick up and go if that's what you want to do.
Uh-huh.
You can't just be.
Uh-huh.
And then I went through that period where I was trying to take care of my things. And now I've come that full circle where I realize it's not things that are important. It's people, and it's the earth.
Uh-huh.
These are the things that are important
uh-huh.
in life.
Uh-huh.
And I think that comes out of love, just finally coming to a realization of loving yourself, and the rest of the world, the connection.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe this is what the scientists mean when they talk about the string theory.
What's a string theory?
I don't know. Everything's connected
in
the universe.
Oh, everything's connected.
Yes, and maybe
we are all one.
Yes, we are all one.
Maybe
we really are. Maybe this is all an illusion. And we really are all one.
Well, you know, when you look at organisms,
mm-hmm.
they all have multiple parts. Like our body has mm-hmm. multiple cells. We could just be all one body and we wouldn't even know it.
Right.
Oh, wow. Well, that's scary, huh?
Well, only if I have to continue living in this body.
No, but you know, like I think about all the leaves on a tree, like I don't know if anybody's ever counted them, but you know, it's kind of a thing that's not countable. And you know, I don't know if the single leaf on the branch over there on the left-hand side actually knows that there are leaves on the right-hand side
right.
That look somewhat the same, but uh-huh. they're really not. That's very interesting.
That is an interesting thought.
But they're all connected by all these little branches, twigs, and so on.
And what if they do know? It's us that's missing it.
Well, that's totally possible, I think. I mean, you know, I feel like it is an illusion, and that one of the things that is so interesting for me about death, for instance, is that it's kind of the ultimate test in some way. It's like if we really believe that we are all one, then we go back to the oneness, which is the peace that babies have when they're in the womb.
Yes.
You know, and when they're one with their mother and their mother is one with everything. And then there are people who don't believe that and believe that that's the end. You know, when they die, they die.
Mm-hmm.
And they aren't connected to anybody and they're adrift. And it must be very scary. And quite often they are very scared.
It has to be scary. I can't imagine not thinking that I was, at least to join that universal life force that's throbbing through the universes. That I don't get to go, or that I'm not already there. And this is an illusion. but it's, I think I really feel loved when I'm with myself. I feel loved. I feel contentment. I feel happiness. And when I watch that one leaf fall off the tree, I really think that that leaf is aware that it's falling off the tree. And I think Reiki's brought me to that kind of awareness, that kind of consciousness living in that moment. Mm. Of course, I'll find out soon enough, you know.
Well, love brings us to a lot of places, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. Yeah. A lot of paths. Life has just been, for me, it's just been a journey. And when I reached that crossroad where it said, go to the left and have Reiki, go to the right and keep living. I'm so grateful I chose to go to the left. Uh-huh. And then I've had so many other crossroads that I've come to that have really been peaceful.
Uh-huh.
Through just, you know, just one small choice. Mm-hmm. And I choose to love and forgive.
Mm-hmm.
I choose to be compassionate and practice loving kindness.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Well, that's a great place to stop.
Yes. I have so enjoyed being with you.
Yeah, and I've enjoyed this talk. It's been great.
It has been.
We've kind of gone all over the map.
Oh, we have, but it's where the energy takes us.
Yes, exactly. Well, there's a wonderful phrase that has come out of this interview today, and that's loving kindness. And, you know, it may sound redundant, but I feel like what it does is it puts us on notice that kindness doesn't come from ego. That's the place where, in some way, we go, well, this will look really good if I'm kind to this person. You know, if I give them a dollar, you know, this guy on the street. And if it comes from that place, then it's not really loving kindness. It's loving kindness when you're prepared to give, and whoever you happen to run across during that day, that drive into town, and you are able to make a difference in their lives by sharing, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Sharing a part of yourself is wonderful. And they get to share back. And imagine that human contact, what that must mean for them.
Right. It's, there's an old saying, to practice. It's as good that it's better to give than to receive.
Uh-huh.
And when you give that dollar, you receive so much more than what you gave.
Uh-huh.
And my mother used to always say that. I never understood that until now. Not this instant, but at this point in my life, I understand that.
Right. Well, all you listeners, this is another piece of homework. Try it out and see what happens. Take your $5 bills, and when you drive around, see if you can give them away. Or walk around, as it would be if you're in New York City. So, a random act of kindness, a random act of loving kindness. And it can be random for the people that you connect with. And it'll make their day, and it'll make your day.
Amen.
This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence.